This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, so it's another wonderful, warm welcome to Kerry Dixon for another edition of the Kerry Dixon Preview Show. Kerry, how are you, mate?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad that the Premier League is back, Dave, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, the older internationals, you know, we were talking about it on the last show, weren't we? I mean, you know, my love of England has not diminished, but yeah, I'm like you. I'm glad we got the Premier League back this weekend, mate, totally.
Yep, and let's hope we carry on where we left before the international break started.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, before we get into the match against Borough this weekend, I was having a think actually before we went on air. You must have some mixed feelings about Borough, because I mean, you know, I remember the, you know, when we lost to them in that playoff in '88, where we managed to get relegated even though we finished 18th. I mean, you were playing then. I mean, do you remember much about that?
Yes, I do. It's a very unfortunate situation, but it was an experimental season, as we know. I've always thought that Middlesbrough haven't been a happy hunting ground. Possibly in more recent times, Chelsea have fared a little bit better. But certainly in my time, not that we played them too many times, but it was never a happy hunting ground for us. And of course, I remember the... Well, it's disastrous if you want to say, or if you overstate the situation. Relegation, which you've already spoke about.
You know what, mate?
We virtually lost the game up there. 2-0 away made it hard for ourselves. I think Paul and Jury got a goal after 6 minutes. Thought we were going to peek back, and it didn't quite happen for us.
In some respect, I mean, that was kind of around that time I began to go a bit more regularly. And, you know, for me, it's one of the most Chelsea seasons you could have, really, because, I mean, we were something like second at, you know, early on in the season. And then it all just totally unraveled. And yet we had a really, you know, it's a squad that's fondly remembered by people of my age group. And we had some bloody good players. And, of course, John Hollins was the manager then, and it all, and right at the end of the season, Marla put in that, you know, we tried to sell the bridge and we had all the Save the Bridge stuff. And only Chelsea could be the only team ever to be relegated from the First Division in a playoff. I mean, it was mental, wasn't it? I mean, did it feel a bit odd for you guys playing at the time?
Well, it did. You know, as I said, it was an experimental season. Very sad in a way, but you're quite right about a good squad. You know, we come back, we went down, of course, Second Division trophy was there for the second time in my 9 years the following season, coming back up with a record number of points. It was a very good squad. The addition of Graham Roberts, Peter Nicholas in the summer, we pretty much walked the second division in that on the second time around. Bit of an anti-climax, really. But nevertheless, we proved what a good squad it was. Kenny Moncur and Johnson joined. And, of course, 89-90 season, we did very well again. And it was fifth or sixth in what is now the Premier League. So it was a good squad, you're quite right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, mate. I mean, that kind of coincided with when I moved to Lotts Road, which is just down from the ground. And, you know, that season with Bobby Campbell when you won the second division title that year, it's still one of my favourite seasons of all time. And I remember you saying the other week, actually, on the show, you know, what a great manager you think Bobby Campbell was for us.
Well, he doesn't get a lot of credit, Bobby, and he pulled the team round. He didn't do a lot of tinkering. He didn't, you know, get loads of people in. He brought a couple of experienced heads in. And Robbo and Peter Nicholas, you know, to their credit, they added that experience which the team needed. The team was a good side. I really can't imagine the team, you know, with the likes of Steve Clark, Gordon Jury, you know, how we actually went down that year. Yeah. Really, you know. But there you go. I dare say better teams have gone down, and but we proved we belong in what is now the Premier League or the First Division. By the way, we come back up.
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, you know, a couple of years later, we have perhaps happier memories of playing against Borough, because of course we won the wonderful and not to be scoffed at Full Members Cup.
Well, yeah, Tony DiRigo goal. It was good. Anytime you play at Wembley with crowds which turn out as they did, you want to win. Any competition you enter, I always believe that you want to win. And we wanted to win it. It wasn't a wonderful game. The previous experience of the competition, which, you know, obviously changed its name due to the sponsor,
yeah,
was a far more thrilling encounter. 5-4 against Manchester City, of course. Yeah. But nevertheless, a win's a win, and many Chelsea people went home happy.
Well, I mean, you know, exactly. And I know people laugh about it now, but I remember at the time, you know, we were all well chuffed because we, you know, I mean, we hadn't won the FA Cup since 70. So, you know, getting to Wembley and getting a trophy, we didn't care. We loved it. So there you go. Anyway, mate, we should move on to the present day, really. And, I mean, Borough are a peculiar side. I mean, you know, they've drawn recently against City and Arsenal, which is no mean feat. And they've only conceded one goal in the last three games, and they're unbeaten in those last three games. I mean, on paper, it looks, you know, like it should be not an easy win. I don't think there are any easy wins in the Premier League these days, really. But, you know, you would have thought we should win up there. But I don't know. They don't look like mugs, mate. That's what I'm kind of saying.
No, I'll agree with you. They don't look like mugs, but I'm not going to agree with you the first bit. I think that Chelsea should win.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, in the last fan cast, that I believe we possibly are title contenders. Well, if we are, Middlesbrough away, we've got to pick up 3 points here. You know, it's not a Liverpool, United, City, Arsenal, Tottenham away. It's Middlesbrough away, with all due respect. And if we are title contenders, whereas I agree that no easy games in the Premier League, we should be looking to pick up 3 in this particular game. I don't think it'll be easy, but I think we've got enough in the team, in the squad, to make sure that happens. And I'm confidently expecting a victory.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think with every reason, really, if you look at, you know, you look at recent history playing Middlesbrough. I mean, I found this amazing stat. Apparently, Middlesbrough haven't scored against us in the Premier League since Mark Viduka did 10 years ago, which is amazing if you think about it, isn't it?
Well, I'm not quite sure how many times we've played Middlesbrough in them 10
years.
Well,
that's true.
But nevertheless, it is an amazing stat, and fair play to you for managing to pull that one out. I'm sure one or two commentators up and down the country will be using that tomorrow.
Well, I can guarantee that it'll be Guy Mowbray, because I nicked it off the BBC website. So there you go.
Well,
apparently,
okay.
It was him who found it. I mean, the only other thing about Borough, which I find quite intriguing, is they've got you know, Karanka as their manager, who's a Jose Mourinho protege, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got to be honest. I think the guy's done a good job.
Yeah.
He seems an organised fella, and as I say, Middlesbrough, for me, I would say possible lower regions of the Premier League, higher regions of the Championship. That's where they are.
Yeah.
And that's where they'll be. I don't think their expectations will push much beyond that. I mean, obviously, they would look to try and get in the top half, possibly top 10, top six would be utopia. But the reality is that they would expect to stay in the Premier League would be a success this year. And I think Karanka's done well. He's got them organised. But Chelsea have a far superior squad, I have to say, Dave. And, you know, like I said before, if you've got the Hazards and the Costas. I'm not quite sure on the update on Diego Costa, on injuries and indeed the whole squad, to be honest. I haven't managed to keep up to date with what the injuries are after the internationals, but if indeed there are any. But surely Chelsea have too much quality for a Middlesbrough side.
Well, the interesting, well, from what I've found out, I mean, obviously, you know, if I'm sure you were keeping abreast of the internationals as I was, and Hazard went off with a knock, and obviously we were talking about it last week. Costa picked up an injury and he didn't play in midweek, obviously against England. But apparently Conte said that all the squad are fit, so I would imagine therefore he'll be picking. I would imagine he's going to pick the same side as he did against you know, Everton the last match we played.
Well, we said before, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it's certainly not broke. So if that is the case and everyone's fit, I don't expect him to fix it. And I agree with you. I think the same team will be turning out and look to continue the good run that they've had.
Yeah, well, one would hope. I mean, I know, you know, again, on the last show, because obviously we're talking a bit about the internationals and I was a bit worried about the break. I mean, are you a little concerned that we've had a... You know, with that break, that you mean might have lost a little bit of momentum, or do you think the players will all be absolutely 100% focused on getting the win on Sunday?
Well, once again, it comes down to the managerial situation. He will, Antonio Conte will obviously try and instill that to his players. He probably faces this situation three or four times during the season. It's not an uncommon situation, and I fully believe that the players will be focused. What the players will also know is that the fans expect it's a long old journey. They'll be going up there, you know. And let's be honest, we're expecting a win. The old excuses about it's internationals, long old trip away, finding an excuse. If you really want to win the Premier League, you've got to go to Middlesbrough in these situations and win.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, something that's occurred to me as well, which I think shouldn't be underestimated, but of course Conte was an international manager with Italy, so I think he'll be more used to this situation in a funny sort of way than a lot of other managers. So he might, you know, there might be, it might be advantageous for him in terms of how to handle that break with the players and things. I don't know, maybe just a thought.
Yeah, as I've always said, you know, the manager will prepare the team. He'll put out the team he thinks will do the job, and he'll make substitutions according to what's happening on the field. It'll be the players that will win it. It'll be the players that will lose it. I always believe that. Players win games. Managers can only detract as far as I'm concerned. They can give a positive vibe to the individual by putting the arm around them and giving them a cuddle and having saying, look, I've got a lot of confidence in you and you know, giving them a bit more self-belief. But other than that, it'd still be the players that will win the game, and they'll all be expected to go out there and play, well, 8 out of 10-ish. Some will play 9, some will play 10. Hopefully none will have a dip. There might be the odd one, which is usually the case, but if one has a dip, I think the other 10 should really be able to fulfil the job. I really do.
Well, you know, talking of people who've clearly had an arm put round them, and I think somebody who Conte is absolutely getting the best out of course, is Hazard. And presumably he'll play, of course, on Sunday. But if he does, it'll be his 150th appearance for Chelsea. And this kind of surprised me in a way, but he's got 48 goals and 31 assists. Which I just thought, blimey, you know, I just didn't think he had that many goals. And yet, you know, if he scores a couple of goals on Sunday, he'll be the sixth Chelsea player to score 50 goals in the Premier League, which is I just thought was remarkable. It really took me by surprise, that. But it really just shows how important he has been and continues to be for us, doesn't it?
Well, Eden Hazard, as I've said, he's arguably our match winner, arguably our best player. And I say arguably, people will say Costa, people will pick different players out and cite different performances. But by and large, Eden Hazard is the man. And it doesn't surprise me at all that he scored that amount of goals. If we believe, Dave, that this guy is going to be, and I said it in the previous show, world class, he's got to be doing them sort of stats. You look at the Ronaldo stats, you look at the Messi stats, you look at, you know, the Neymar stats and the Suarez. They're all wonderful in terms of performances on the field, minutes on the field, goals, assists. I mean, the Messi and Ronaldo stats are quite astronomical.
Yeah.
But Eden Hazard, playing his trade in the Premier League, it's some great stats you've quoted. And, you know, that's got to continue. Because I really do believe a happy Eden Hazard gives Chelsea a chance in every competition.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, if anything comes out of this season, I just get the feeling that, you know, the shackles have been taken off him. I mean, Mourinho, you know, like a lot of managers, likes to defend absolutely from the front and put a very kind of heavy defensive burden on Hazard as well. And I just think, you know, I've always felt that if you're going to have, you know, if you've got a player as good as that, a really great creative player, then let him be a great creative player. You know, surely you can afford to have one chap in the team. He doesn't have to be tracking back and making tackles in the penalty area. And in a sense, as I said, I think the shackles have come off him and he looks happier and I think he's playing brilliantly at the moment and it's a real joy to see.
Well, some managers will think that and some won't.
Yeah.
You know, shackles on, shackles off. I'm not so sure that Alex Ferguson and people, certainly Jose Mourinho, wouldn't have one person not tracking back. I remember the Cole and, you know, the Damien Duff situations at Fulham where he pulled him off after 35 and so on before half-time. And he tried, he tried that, it appears to me, with Eden Hazard. And there was obviously a fallout there. There was obviously a breakdown in communication somewhere along the line. And Hazard put in what has to be described as a poor season. But that wasn't the true Hazard. And it's not what the Hazard that we saw the season before was capable of. And I have to say, on what I've seen this season, he's recapturing the form of the previous season when he was really good. Double player of the year and so on. If you've got one of them players, you do give them a little bit more freedom, but you've still got to keep an eye on them and you've still got to make sure they contribute. And Eden Hazard does his fair share. John Neal used to say, if you're ever in trouble, give the ball to Pat Nevin. He used to tell everyone that. Pat could hang on to the ball, the team could get more organised, Pat would beat one or two, and, you know, just give the ball to Pat. That's what he...
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live... It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Used to say, this modern day Chelsea is a little bit similar. You want something to happen, get the ball to Hazard. He can make things happen. The crowd buzzes, you know, when he gets the ball, you can sense an air of anticipation. Something might happen. Not many players give spectators that sort of buzz, but he's certainly one that does.
Yeah, and you know, well, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, if people aren't lucky enough to go to the matches, it's probably something they don't understand. But you know, you do literally get up out of your seat when you see a player like Hazard pick up the ball. It was the same with Pat. I'm glad you brought Pat Nevin up because I was going to ask you actually. I mean, you know, I can't imagine Pat ever being told to go and track back and make tackles in defence.
I can't imagine Kerry Dixon doing the same either. David Speedy. David Speedy tells a story. He used to argue with me and he would tackle anyone, no matter what. He used to run past me and he'd run past swearing at me, looking at me, glaring at me. He'd tackle the fullback and he'd say, "You should have done that." But in the meantime, David's won the ball, crossed it, and I scored with a header. I said, "You just keep doing that and it'll be a good partnership, David. That's what it's all about. That's why you're there." And if it was the other way around, it wouldn't work. Once again, you know, Pat Nevin wouldn't do it. I certainly wouldn't do it. I'm not so sure how I'd have got on with Jose, I have to be honest. but there you are. The game. People say the game's changed or whatever. You look at the like of Gary Lineker. Would he be tracking back? Would he be doing something? No. He's the Optostats on him covering ground on the pitch. He'd probably be about 3 miles behind everybody else, and yet he's England's second highest goal scorer. You can twist the stats and you can twist things around however you want. If it's working, and it seriously is working, you find a place in the side for the Nevins, for the Hazards, people of that ilk. You know, people who've got ability, people who can make things happen. And they're a luxury.
Mm.
But they're a great advantage in a tight game because they're the ones that will unlock the key.
It's an excellent point. And, you know, it's very interesting. I had a long debate with a lot of people, you know, last season because... You know, whilst I think that Cesc Fabregas is a fabulous footballer, I just felt that, you know, in the team, you could only really afford to have one luxury player. And frankly, I'd rather have Hazard as that player than have two people who aren't going to do, you know, any tackling or perhaps be a defensive liability. And talking of Cesc, there was some interesting news that was coming out this week about West Ham being... interested in a lot of our players, either on loan or to buy in the January window. One of them was Fabregas. The other two, more interestingly, I think, were perhaps getting Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Dominic Solanke on loan. I just wonder what your thoughts were about that.
Well, you know, obviously in January, the hierarchy, including Antonio Conte, will assess the players at his disposal. We'll look at the squad, what we need, what competitions we're in. The FA Cup will be starting, of course, and you know he'll look at what will be allowed out on loan and what will be free to go on a transfer. Players like Fabregas, we have discussed before. I can't see a player of his calibre and his stature looking to stay in the reserves permanently and not get much game time. You know, I really do believe that there will be some sort of movement there, one way or another, of the two youngsters. If they're not getting enough game time, and as we all hope, and you know, I feel sorry for the two youngsters, and indeed most of them. But if the team is playing well, winning, challenging for the title in cup competitions, any manager is not going to change that situation. And they would be better off if indeed the likes of West Ham or any other club for that matter want to take them on loan. And game time is not guaranteed, but you know, a little bit more opportunity than they're probably getting at Chelsea, then they should go out as well, I believe, because they have to develop. That's what it's all about. That's what the academy's about, developing players. And it's an important and crucial stage, going out on loan and getting experience, whether it be at Championship level or indeed Premier League.
I think it's an interesting issue, actually, with Loftus-Cheek. He's clearly got a lot of talent. But remarkably enough, I mean, I know he's quite a unit, but I think he is also still physically developing. I mean, there was a lot of talk last season about his ability to kind of last, you know, the 90 minutes in some sense. But I think the issue really with Loftus-Cheek is that he's been kind of singled out as the great hope from the academy. And I just wonder if, in a sense that that's interfering with his development, because I think you're right. You know, if he's not going to get into the first team or not going to get regular football, then surely to become a better player, he needs games. And actually, you know, perhaps he is one lad who would really, really benefit from playing a bit more regularly for another club in the Premier League or elsewhere.
Well, I definitely believe that. You know, Chelsea are pretty desperate, to be honest, I believe, to get one of the youngsters through. The academy side is one of the best in the world, arguably. And they need to get some players through. We've got plenty of players out on loan, learning the trade, playing the trade. Tammy Abraham's not doing himself any harm down at Bristol, getting goals here and there. You know, I remember Josh McKechnie, what he was going to be, didn't quite work out for him as it is. Lewis Baker is doing okay abroad in Holland. You know, there's plenty of players who are doing well, but to make that transition and be given the opportunity, it's a very thin line. But I do believe that, you know, Neil Barth and his coaches, they're desperate for a player to actually make the breakthrough, just to actually show the youngsters who are in the academy that it can be achieved. If it means going out on loan for a period of time, then so be it. You know, Patrick Bamfield, he's another one, been out on loan for quite a bit of time. Chelsea have got decisions to make throughout the season. These youngsters need caring, they need looking at, and they need game time. But Chelsea also need to be challenging. And at the end of the day, I have to be honest, as much of the work is put into the academy, a lot of coaches put time and effort in, the Premier League is what it's all about. You know, the global brand Chelsea, what it is, chasing European trophies, winning FA Cups, continually challenging at the top of the Premier League. That's Chelsea. That's the modern Chelsea. Not the one that's finishing mid-table, struggling, bit of stick, but got 24 players out on loan. It's about winning stuff. And, you know, as sad as it may seem, any manager coming to Chelsea will pick the side that's winning. They won't be interested in that bit of development from the academy to the first team. They're hoping that one of the players they put in, when it happens, and they do put a few in, hits the ground running and proves he's able to do it. John Terry was the last one that did it. We all hope there's another one coming.
Well, we do indeed. And I think actually on that note, I think Chaloba actually looks the most likely to make the breakthrough, because he's just fitted in, I mean, seamlessly whenever he's had the opportunity. Just very quickly, Kerry, I'm glad you mentioned Josh McEachran, because, you know, I was at the game in the League Cup game when we played Newcastle, when, you know, Carlo was the manager. And, you know, I mean, I know I think we went out on penalties or something. I can't remember now, but it was a mad game, lots of goals and all that. But I watched that, and McEachran looked the best player on the pitch by a country mile. And I looked at him and I thought, bloody hell, this is a kid who's playing with the maturity of a guy who's been playing, you know, in the Premier League for years. And I really thought he would be the kid to really make the breakthrough, and he never did. And it bemuses me. I don't know why. I mean, I'd love to hear your take on that, why he might not have made it.
Well, it's an individual thing, and you don't know what's going on in the minds of these players. The key to it all is they're going to have a career. If they're in Chelsea's academy, the chances are they'll have a career in football at whatever level will be due to circumstance and, of course, development. The opportunity to develop is not always so obvious at Chelsea. Chalabar's been out at Watford. He's been to quite a few clubs now, and he's been a success. I think he's played 100-odd games.
Yeah.
That experience will hold him in good stead. His natural ability will determine whether he holds his place in the Chelsea squad. I agree with you at the moment. He's the latest one to shine and have that opportunity. Whether it works for him or not remains to be seen. Loftus-Cheek, you know, they're all up against seasoned internationals.
Mm.
And it's not easy trying to break through at a top club. There isn't too many. Any of the top clubs, kids breaking through. Manchester City, you've got the forward, I can't pronounce it, Achievement, whatever his name is. But he scores goals every time he comes in. He's one that might make it at Manchester City. One or two at Manchester United have sort of hinted at it, but they're having an indifferent season, and listen, if their form doesn't pick up, the youngsters will suffer and they'll go out the side. That's always the way. To do it at Chelsea is going to be tough, but I agree, Chalabar is the one at the moment. But I can't really say why McEachran or any of the others before him haven't done it. John Terry, when he did it, he broke up the partnership of Marcel Desailly and Frank Leboeuf. And that was a wonderful partnership. You know, it worked. It was really good. Terry made it impossible for Leboeuf to get back in when he played. And the manager at the time had the faith in him. And Terry never looked back and hardly ever put in a poor performance. Hardly ever. Mm. So that's the sort of thing you've got to do to break into the Chelsea side. I think back to my time, you know, I come up from a division lower. Oh, luckily enough, I scored a couple on the debut, but I hit the ground running and scored and scored and scored, and you become a fixture, and then people don't doubt you. Any youngster coming in has got to do that sort of thing, and it's a tough ask.
Well, I think that's a brilliant answer, actually, Kerry. And a lot of Chelsea supporters I know, they get very excitable about the youth and get very stroppy that they don't get a chance. But some of the older, I wouldn't say wiser heads, more cynical heads possibly. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I don't have any problem. And I love seeing the youth break through, but they've got to be good enough. And, you know, I think about John Terry.
I ask you as a supporter, Dave.
Go on.
What's more important? And you know the answer, and everyone knows the answer. If the team start to lose and we're blooding the kids, you're not going to go home every Saturday, meet your Tottenham mates and your Arsenal mates down the pub and things like that and say, oh, yeah, but we're blooding kids. You want to win. And the manager wants to win as well, and the players want to win.
I think the point you make, that's spot on, mate, actually. And I think, do you know what? Another thing is that I think a lot of us of my age group are slightly skewed by the fact that, you know, we grew up with Eddie McCready's team of the mid-70s. And
young team, Ray Wilkins.
Yeah, and we had all of these youngsters that came through. But people, we kind of forget, after all this time, we had no choice. We'd been relegated. Yeah. The club had no money, and it had sold a lot of the older players. So we had no choice. But we look at that in a bit of a rose-tinted spectacle way. But I think your point about John Terry is absolutely bang on. This is a kid who unseated a World Cup winner. So he must have been pretty bloody good. And I think that's the point. If they're good enough, they get in.
And he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And still is. I mean, I still think, as I say, there's a place for John. As and when the team falters a little bit or he gets the opportunity, I still think he'll fit into this system and have no problem.
Yeah.
But that's probably another story.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if he doesn't get to play much, I think John's a massive influence on the dressing room still, you know, and I think that's welcome as well, particularly over the last couple of years. And I think we've lacked a bit of leadership here and there, so that's good. Look, we should wrap up. Sorry, go on, mate.
Yeah, talking about, you know, it was interesting news about Frank Lampard in America as well. Talk about players coming back and players being given opportunities and youngsters given opportunities. I don't know what Frank's intentions are, where he wants to go, what he does, but it's a good opportunity for Chelsea to have people back, you know. Whatever people think of Frank, he's our highest ever goal scorer and a wonderful servant over 12 years to the club. I'd love to see him back as well. It's just a little thought of mine. If there would be an opportunity somewhere for Antonio Conte, you know, there's all sorts of talk about Steve Holland and Gareth Southgate and so on. If we can get Frank back in any capacity, I'd love to see him back.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you say that. I can't think of a Chelsea supporter who wouldn't agree with that. I mean, you know, in 20 years' time, when I'm old and have lost all my hair and whatever you, and you know, I'll be telling my grandkids that I saw Frank Lampard's entire Chelsea career, and there'll be a twinkle in my eye and a massive pride filled chest as I talk about that. So to see him come back into the club in any sort of capacity, I would welcome. I can't believe any Chelsea supporter wouldn't agree with that.
No matter which way you look at it, he's one of our own, they say.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly is, you know.
Yeah. Listen, mate, we should try and wrap up, so we better kind of give our predictions. What I will say, actually, mate, is that if we win on Sunday, there's a very good chance that we'll be top of the league, which will concur with what you believe to be happening already, because Liverpool have got Saints away, which won't be an easy match. And I think, I mean, you know, I think City are at Palace, which they should win, but Arsenal are, of course, at United, which will be no easy win as well. So there's a very good chance that we could be top by Sunday. And to do that, we need to win by how many goals, Kerry? What are we going to, what's the deal? What are you predicting?
I'm predicting 2 or 3, I've got to be honest. I'm not getting carried away. I hear about their defence and I hear about it's a difficult place to go, and it is. We've got quality players in quality positions and they're all playing well. Vying for positions, want to stay in the side. That situation works in every team. I played in 2 teams like that. Leicester City won the league like that. People who want to play, don't want to be injured, play with a little bit of pain. They want to be in the Chelsea side. I think we'll win 2 or 3. And I'd love to see us top come Sunday evening.
So what are you going to go for? 2-0 or 3-0?
3-0.
3-0. All right. Well, I'm going to go 1-0 because I'm a miserable sod because we didn't win the Football Blogging Awards last night and I'm still miserable about it. So I'm just going to go 1-0.
Okay, I'll take the 1-0, but I'm expecting a 2 or 3.
I think either way, mate, we're both expecting Chelsea hopefully to be top come 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and I shall drink to that. That'll be great if we are.
Let's hope so, Dave. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too, fella. We'll speak again next week. I look forward to that. You take care, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.